Right. What we're doing now is we're writing out the verse with include not the verse by itself, but the verse according to the commentary. Okay? So verse 8, that's chapter 13, verse 8, we're doing according to the Mitzvot David, and this is how we would read it with the interpretation. A rich man can redeem his soul only if, when he gives charity, he gives it in such a way that the poor man is not embarrassed. Okay? So that's the way we would read the pasuk with the Mitzvot David. Okay? Now there's two questions. We're not talking about a sinner, we're talking about a guy that gives charity. So we're talking about a rich man that's a good person. So why does he need redemption? What did he do wrong that he needs redemption? And the Hebrew is kofar, kapara, it's redemption. So what is the redemption he needs? And two, the second question is, how is, if the guy is not embarrassed, if I don't embarrass the guy, how does that help me? That is the question, two questions that we're going to discuss. Okay, the thing is, we always find that there are very wealthy people, not all the time, but we find people that are very wealthy and then they do stupid things to make them lose their money. Okay? You find by athletes, they make millions of dollars, and they can't watch it. So either they invest it themselves and they don't know what they're doing, or they give it over to somebody, and since they don't watch it, so usually people steal from them. You find many times by rich people that they cause themselves to get into trouble in the very area in the very area of money. I'm not talking about that they do stupid things in other areas. I'm saying where they make mistakes and they lose their money because of their own crazy emotions that get involved. There was the story of, I forgot the name, there was a guy that was very, very wealthy. There were five brothers, but he was the thinker, and he lived in Canada, and he made millions of dollars. He was extremely wealthy. And then for some reason, he decided he wanted to build the whole city. And he went too far and he lost everything. He lost everything. You know what I mean? It's just like some crazy emotion drove him to this. So the thing is, you find that that's the redemption that you need. You need redemption from these type of faults. Okay? All right. Now, the question is, what do we mean by not having a poor man embarrassed? Let's say, for instance, there's a guy that's begging for money. Okay? Now, you just walk by and you throw money in the cup. All right, that's one thing. Or you could talk to the guy when you put money in, like you recognize him as a human being. He might sense the difference. Many times they would. You know what I mean? Like you look at him and nothing, you pass by. It's like a simple thing. But you don't realize that the guy is just embarrassing the guy. But if you give it with thought, you realize that embarrassment. So then you do that. Okay. Now, if we're talking about a rich man that was never poor, or a noble that was raised with nobility, then how would he know about the person to know to do that? How would he know that? If he's raised as a noble, he never, if I'm raised poor and then I became wealthy, so then I could identify with the poor. But if I was born wealthy, and if I was, or I was a noble, and I always had it good, what do I have to know? How could I recognize that the guy is embarrassed? The answer is observation. There are little things that you observe. For instance, today there's the whole study of body language, interpreting from the body. They say the eyes never lie. So if you learn how to look at the eyes, there's the way they talk or the way they express themselves. There's all different symptoms. It comes from observation and then interpreting the observation. Okay? So the thing is that you must, that is the knowledge that the person must have to be able, since he doesn't know what the other, he never knew, he can't identify with him, the only way he can know is through these observations. There's certain people that are very good at observations. I saw, I have a dog, and I had to take him in, and he snaps. He was very upset. We had to change his collar because he couldn't get to his paw. So the woman that took care of him realized that when he snaps, he's very careful not to bite. Like she noticed this, that it's not a, he snaps, but he's very careful not to bite. That you don't have to worry. And two, he didn't like pulling the collar over his head, but he didn't mind putting it around. She was very observant about how this dog operated, you see? So the thing is that there's observations in different areas, okay? Now, let's say I have a bad emotion and I'm not aware of this emotion. How could I tell? If I'm very observant based on my actions, I could be observant of certain things, of certain mistakes. I'll give you an example, okay? I'm a tease. By nature, I'm pretty much of a tease, okay? But I started noticing two different reactions in students. Sometimes you crack a, you know, you tease and the whole place laughs. That's okay, that's fine. But sometimes one person gets embarrassed, so you have to be careful. And then sometimes another student takes you as an equal, you know what I mean? Which could be very bad. So the thing is that you have to observe your own. I happen to have noticed this impropriety of teasing via recognizing it in others. But you could recognize in yourself observe certain things that you do once you have that observation. So the redemption that the rich person has is that if he reaches a level of observation, that he could observe somebody that is not like him at all, but just from observation he could recognize that, then he has the ability to observe in himself the different faults which he would be able to protect himself and not fail from these faults. And it goes vice versa. If you have observations of your own things, that helps you be more observant of others. Okay? One more point. Somebody asked me a question like this. This is the way he put it. It was about Jonah. So he says that God could create miracles and he created a fish, I have no problem with. But that Jonah could go into a city and talk to the public, you know, in such a way that he wins them over. We're talking about people that were going to be destroyed in 40 days. They were the most evil people, you see? The answer is that a group also has a personality, and he knew how to approach the group. He had knowledge of the group, and he had to know how to talk to them. And that's a knowledge of reading the group, okay? He knew to start from the individuals, and then he worked up to the king. I don't know the exact method, but he had unbelievable knowledge of how to talk, to what their problem was, what their emotions was. He read it clearly, and he knew how to talk to them. So you see from here, you would, if you want to help people, then the more knowledge you have, you're able to read people, then the better you could help them. And insofar as you're blind in yourself or in them, then you will, insofar as you're blind that you can't help them, then that's, you're blind to yourself, that you won't be able to help yourself. So therefore, it goes two ways. So if you want to help people, you must have this knowledge. If you want to help yourself, you must have this knowledge, and it goes two ways.